Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Time to answer more of your listener questions. So stand by for that, including a question about how to celebrate your engagement while down at Walt Disney World. But don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to 5 days to go until we get on that Southwest Airlines jet to head to Orlando International Airport. And I've been getting excited for the last 3 to 4 months. Every time I look down at my phone, anytime I get a text, place a phone call, or post to social media, I can see great pictures. I get to customize the text. I pick the color. It just gets me pumped up for my next trip, and then I use it over and over again. You can do the same. Just drop by virtualmickey.com today.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1190 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully you're hanging in there this week. It's not going too tough for you. We're here to give you a little distraction for 30 to 40 minutes, answering your listener questions about the Disney destination. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, we are almost to Florida. We're so close.
I know. I'm like getting antsy right here. Like, it's seriously like just a week and a half until I get to leave. Actually, probably less than that. Probably about a week until I get to leave. And I can't wait. Next week is the week is going to go by so slow, but so fast, because you've got the holiday next week with the 4th of July. But then like it's just going to screw me up, and it's just going to go by so fast and so slow all at once. So,
and an update, still haven't found the fish extender. I've halfway destroyed the house,
no!
But I will find it. I'm on a mission. This house will be just turned upside down, but it's going to be on that cruise somehow. I have to find it.
I hope you do find it. That would be terrible.
Otherwise, we'll have schnooks bags hanging outside our room. So just deposit into the schnooks bag as needed. That's what will happen. Schnooks is our grocery store. Anyway, joining us as well, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And Pam, how are things going around the Forrester household? Getting ready to start packing? Because you guys leave like in 2 days.
I know. I'm so excited. So the fish extenders are done, thanks to Hannah.
Oh, good.
I know, right? So here's
mine
the
are
thing.
Done too, by the way. Mine are done too. Brian and I did them this
so
weekend.
Happy. So. I mean, I bought all the stuff for him. She assembled for me, so that was good. You know, she really comes in handy sometimes.
That's it. That's what kids are for, man. That's why you have them.
I know, right?
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah. This is why, Ricky. So just FYI. and then, let's see. I've been printing out stuff to get things ready for the pillow gifts for all the cruisers who are cruising with us. We have the mixology classes, of course, confirmed. So excited about that. Just fun time, I will say. Look, I can't believe it's happening. Like, I'm kind of throwing stuff into suitcases, hoping that it will all make it down there. I'm taking more luggage this time than I've ever taken on vacation, and it makes me a little anxious, I'm going to say. Now, Mike, I know a lot of luggage is not.
I was going to say, welcome to the Rallmans right there, baby. That's it. That's why we got a trailer instead of getting the real fun party bus. We had to get the church van with the trailer behind it. So thank you.
I know. I'm just kind of like, okay. So this makes me feel like, oh my gosh, look at all that luggage. But I'm trying to remind myself that, you know, a lot of this is being left there. And I shipped about 800 things to our manager, Deb Chambers' house. So she is like, what are all these packages showing up at my house? And I'm like, okay.
Because yeah, I've been there because when I used to drive, you used to ship them to me and I'd throw them in the trailer. I've been there. I know how that goes. Anyway, let's get to the questions because that's why everybody's here and we got a lot of them. So let's knock some down. First question is from Melissa. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, my boyfriend just proposed to me yesterday. Congratulations. He, my best friend, and I already had a Disney trip planned in August beforehand. Now I'm wondering, is there anything we can do to celebrate our engagement while on our trip? I know they have married and celebration buttons, but do they have engagement ones? We have a Bon Voyage breakfast, a Be Our Guest breakfast, and an Ohana dinner reservation already, if that helps. Thanks for being my favorite Disney podcast. P.S. Mike, my family is also from the Florissant Ferguson area of Missouri. Go Cards. That's right. And as we're recording this, word is woofing up on the Reds right now. So go Cards. We don't win often, but when we do, we win big. Anyway, so let's talk about this. Engagement. Congratulations, first of all, Melissa. Ricky, do they... I know they have the Just Married, their silver buttons.
Actually, the buttons have changed within, I want to say, the past year, year and a half.
Of course.
So, of course they did. So now they do not have specific buttons for, like, Just Married or, you know, I think anniversary or engagement. Now they just have a button, and I believe it's Cinderella and Prince Charming, and it says Happily Ever After. So it can be used for all things. So, you know, I guess they didn't want people, you know, to have to keep printing buttons for every different thing. So they were just like, we're just going to make one.
Come on,
button.
Disney, let's don't go there. I like my shirt to say Pop Century. I don't want to say Walt Disney World Resort either. Come on now. They're getting better at that usually.
Yep. No. They just have the one. So, yeah, that's all they get.
They didn't put Grumpy on it for, like, Just Married? Grumpy or Happy? No. I don't know. Which you get to pick. You circle which one you are. Pam, what do you think, though, for engagement? They're going to Be Our Guest. They're going to Bon Voyage. They got Ohana. What other ways would they make an existing trip, because this is something already planned, how can they make that special and plus it, to celebrate the engagement?
So I would schedule this is something that we recommend every now and then, but some of the tours are great. And a lot of them are adult only. And I think that's kind of a cool thing to do when it's just the two of you. How about you make sure that you get a memory maker and get lots and lots of photos taken? You might even want to schedule a photo session, which is a really cool thing to do as well. And I think, a romantic meal or a meal that is something that really appeals to you. Maybe you want to check out one of the signature locations, the ones that I typically recommend, but I'll recommend some other ones for you too. And there's some great locations even in Disney Springs, including Morimoto Asia. The food's so good at homecoming, I could make that seem romantic. Miss Fried Chicken's romantic.
There you go.
Yes,
that's what
is.
We say. Yeah, forget Victoria and Albert's. Go to homecoming. It's so romantic.
Go get fried chicken. It's fine.
Hey, they're from the Ferguson, Florissant area. That's how we roll in the 314.
That is how we roll.
All right. I agree with the memory maker thing because I think, as I recall, I don't know when their wedding is, but I remember that Pam and I, when we got engaged, we took some, we knew where we wanted to have our wedding, which was an outdoor kind of plantation here in St. Louis. We went over there, like snuck on the grounds one day before we officially booked it and took a bunch of pictures. And what we used those for was like for our save the date magnets we sent out to everybody before we, because the wedding was like a year off. So if you do that shoot, then you could do that for like your save the date magnets and use that for all your, I don't know if you'd call it this, but your promotional materials getting ready for the wedding. I don't know, like promoting the new couple. I don't know how you call that stuff, but you know what I'm saying? Like you could use that for your invitations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, that's a great materials idea. Is correct.
I mean, it's what you're doing, basically. I mean, you might not call it that, but you're promoting yourselves and trying to get everybody to the wedding, so whatever. All right, let's go to the next question. It's from another Melissa. Dear Ricky, Pam, and Mike, over the past year or so, you have all helped me tremendously to battle my post-Disney college program blues, but now I need your help with a new Disney adventure. Thanks to some great advice, I was able to register for the 2018 Run Disney Princess 5 and 10K with no problems. And she says, thanks, Ricky. But now I find myself in a post-registration panic as I have never done any kind of race before. What are some of your biggest tips for new runners in terms of training, food, and day of? How scary is running 2 days back-to-back? Are there any Run Disney specific podcasts you can suggest or BOGP episodes that focus on race prep? As a DCP alumni, I'm not too worried about the trip planning aspect. definitely getting Memory Maker for this one, but the actual race training has me shaking in my fresh Nikes. Please, I like that. Please help this new runner, Potential Lizard, on her hashtag Path to Princess. Thank you so much for all that you do. Melissa's from Mount Holly, New Jersey. Well, first of all, thanks for making that magic down in the college program, man. Again, I've said this 1,000 times in the last 9.5 years. I wish I could have done that because it just seems like one of those things that would stick with you forever. You don't get paid much, but the memories, I'm sure, last a lifetime. And congratulations, too, to Melissa for signing up for the Princess, getting out of your comfort zone and seeing Disney in a new way. And I think that's what Run Disney is great about, is that you really get to have an experience that's uniquely Disney, but it's something that you have to invest in if you want to get a lot out of it. Now, I know folks that, and I used to be guilty of this too, and I feel bad now, that I would get out there and run the races without doing the training. It's so much more rewarding when you put in the miles beforehand and you see that the races in February as your victory laps. You know, you get out there and you get a medal, you get to be out there with the crowd, people cheering you on, got awesome announcers, you get to bling the shirts, all that stuff. So that's your victory lap, that's your celebration trip. I wouldn't worry about it as far as the race weekends. They tell you where to go. Listen to the shows. We have a lot of past episodes. We'll try to pull some links and put them up on the Facebook page. Do join the Lizards because there's nothing like other teammates that can give you been there, done that advice. And that's exactly what our running group does. So many folks will take you under your wing and make sure that your first experience is amazing. No kidding. Our runners will run right alongside you if you want it. I mean, I've seen people that don't worry about their times. They're just going to get you to the finish line. That's happened so many times. But, you know, they're going to, you know, through social media and stuff, they'll keep you accountable to your training and give you advice if you have any injuries or, you know, nutrition questions, stuff like that. What I would say too, as far as that, is that you can drop by rundisney.com and they have training programs. They have them for beginners, intermediate, folks that are trying to set personal bests, you know, advanced runners. They have it for all levels. And being somebody who's run a lot of the Disney races myself, and especially when I got into Marathon and Dopey the last couple of years, I followed those Run Disney schedules to it to the letter. You know, I did exactly what they said. I remember it was like usually for the marathon, you know, a 3 mile run on a Tuesday, a 3 mile run on a Thursday, and then a long run on a Saturday and a shorter, longish run on a Sunday. So as long as I put those miles in, when I got to race day, I knew I could do it because by the end of the training, I had gone that distance. So I wasn't scared. I wasn't doubting myself. I was excited that I get to, you know, this is the day I get my medal, you know, instead of running around my neighborhood in Florissant for 25 miles and then just looking like I'm tore up at the end and all I want to do is go eat dinner and go to bed. You know, I don't get anything for that. This is the fun part. I get to see people in costumes and have all the good stuff. So just go by rundisney.com and you can download those training programs. They import right into your calendar on your iPhone or your Android device. And it'll just remind you, you know, the day before I set it up. So like on the day before, it'd say, don't forget, tomorrow you have a 3 mile run. Okay, piece of cake. I get up a little bit early, do my 3 miles, go to work, and no problem. So that's my advice. Don't stress out. You know, you got a long time, February 2018, but it'll get here before you know it. But just watch that plan because you would start training here probably in the next month or two. And just, but when it, I will give you a practical advice. If you live in New Jersey, it's probably hot in the summer. Don't kill yourself until the fall, until it cools off. You have plenty of time to catch up. The worst thing you can do is run hard in the summer when it's hot because that'll make you miserable. You'll want to quit and you won't stick with it. So, Ricky, any other advice? Because she shot you out on this one, is helping her to sign up for this race, which I don't know what that's all about, but hey.
I just have to say, like, definitely get out there and do the miles. She said she's doing which two races again? She's doing
I think the 5 and the 10. I just deleted it, but yeah.
Yeah, 5 and the 10. So at least you're not, I mean, you know, if you're not doing the half, you know, I've done, you know, basically all those, I've done all those races. So, you know, just get out there. And the best thing I can say is have fun with it, especially, you know, while you're on your training runs, you know, some days you get out there, you just don't feel it. You know, you're like, why am I out here doing this? I would much rather be sitting on my couch or whatever, you know. So just get out there and have fun with it. I think that's the best advice I can give someone, especially someone who hasn't really run before, you know, being in that situation, who didn't run unless someone was chasing me. You know, I can honestly say that if you're having fun while you're out there doing it, and yeah, it's hot and painful sometimes. But in the end, like Mike said, it's totally worth it when you have that bling. And I'm glad you did PhotoPass because, or you're going to be doing it, because that was absolutely positively, like, that's been my my best thing. Like, I didn't want like merchandise that said I did it or anything like that. My proof and excitement was, you know, the photos that I got, you know, both, well, for a while, you know, the photos weren't included from the race pictures. So, you know, now you've got the race pictures that are actually included in it too. So you definitely want to make sure you get Memory Maker whenever you run these big races like that. So
you're going to do awesome. She will. And I paid $260 for my pictures for my first marathon. Cause like that was before they were part of Memory Maker. But I mean, exactly. You know, like it's a milestone in your life. I'm like, I'm probably never doing this again. Like, yes. And they always tell you, they send you those emails like your pictures are going to be deleted in 30 days. I'm like, ugh. So I bought them, it's a good value. I mean, if you think about it, so you want those images because they get really, really good. My trick here, don't forget this, Melissa, don't let the photographers catch you walking. You can kind of see them coming ahead. Like you'll start
they
to
have
see
a
like
big green
yeah,
tent.
They have like little tents. Yeah. Like as soon as you see a tent, man, run. And then once you get past them, walk again. That's my trick. Don't let them catch you. That's why I tell everybody run. Oh my God, we got to run. Okay, Pam, anything else? Because, you know, I think that what I like about Run Disney Events is it's kind of a carrot at the end for something that might change your lifestyle. And there's nothing better to encourage you than a Disney trip on the end.
I think so too. I mean, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of good camaraderie out there. You really see it. You see, I mean, you know, just in the thousands of folks that come out and just to cheer on everyone who's running. I think that's really heartwarming to see that it's just such a cool thing to be out there with other folks doing that. So, I mean, you know, it's a fun event. It's a fun time. You'll have a great time. And like Mike said, make sure you check out the training, you know, advice that's offered directly through Disney. They pay folks a lot of money to help develop those things for all the runners. Just take advantage of them.
Got this bum to the finish line after 48 miles. It works. I tell you that. Well, I mean, come on now. All right, Brenda's got the next question. Hey, everybody, I'm a new listener, and I love the show so far. Here's my question for you. The deluxe dining plan does not distinguish between child and adult credits, correct? We are planning a trip to Disney next year and are going to bring my mother-in-law for her very first time. We are DVC and plan to get two studios. Officially, one would be her and her husband, and the other room would be myself and my two kids. We want to add the deluxe dining plan to my room only. It would be plenty of credits to cover all of us for the trip. Since we would be paying the kids' rate for two of the three people, the math works out to only be $35 per person per night. I just want to double check that we don't have an issue with adult versus child credits. Thank you, Brenda. So, Pam, how does that work? I mean, because I haven't used the dining plan lately. I know on counter service it doesn't, but it does on the sit-down, right?
With the deluxe plan, it doesn't either. The issue really is going to be that the dining plan's in flux right now, and I think there will be possibly some changes because for 2018, now alcohol and specialty drinks are included. Right. And that's really exciting to a lot of people because those are some of the things that they've asked Disney to include on the plan. And now they have. But I wonder how that will be impacted by the fact that there are children.
That's true.
Alcohol, you know what I mean? Yeah. Will there be children's credits and then adults' credits? I don't know. And I don't think there's any way to really predict how that will shake out. So I think it's something that we're all just kind of waiting to see.
Agreed. Now, I was going to bring this up on Friday, but let's hit this real quick here, just kind of in the middle of the show. Pam, what are your thoughts on adding the alcoholic beverage option to the 2018 dining plan? I mean, I didn't see this coming at all. It kind of surprised me.
So honestly, I think it makes the dining plan a slam dunk for many people. First of all, the dining plan went out to, you know, it went up just about the same price it had gone up the year before, which was awesome because not only, you know, did it go up, it was an increase of like $7, less than $7. So not only did it go up only a small amount, but now you have an extra inclusion. And for folks who don't drink alcohol, don't feel like you're paying for other people's drinks because you really are. The dining plan was going to go up that price anyway. They've really just added an extra inclusion. And the changes that they've made in terms of the flexibility of the dining plan in the last few years are a huge, huge plus too. So many places now will let you
subsidize. We're subsidizing everything else too.
we'll let you substitute out at your even if your table service meals, some kind of thing for your dessert, whether it be a soup or a salad or something like that. You just have to ask before you order. The other thing is that the quick service plans have made tons and tons of things, changes in that to make it something that's friendly for everyone. First of all, they don't include desserts anymore. You have an extra snack instead. So you can either use it for a dessert at your quick service meal or use it for a snack at another time. That's a huge bonus. People said, hey, we don't eat dessert all the time. And Disney responded to that. The other thing is
who says that they don't eat dessert? That's why I go on vacation. I don't normally, but I do
Brian,
on vacation.
Brian says that.
Some folks don't.
Yeah, Brian asked for like a bowl of just vanilla ice cream at Tiffin's, and they were like, no, sir, we can't get you just vanilla ice cream. Brian's that demographic.
Does
right
Brian
there.
Need that with like his Mylanta or something? Come on now.
No, he just does not eat dessert. So, yeah.
Sorry, Pam. I got a sweet tooth right now as we're recording. I apologize. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But you can change in your quick service meal for three snacks. You get three snacks as a substitute for your quick service meal. So again, that's a whole huge plus. And the other great thing is, even if you don't drink alcohol, there are going to be many specialty non-alcoholic beverages to choose from. And it was funny because I was thinking about this the other day. I'm sure that we're going to see, first of all, an explosion in the number of specialty non-alcoholic.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And for when you're traveling, I think with kids, parents, back me up here. How many times does your child ask for one of those drinks?
Oh, well, I have so many of those like little Tinkerbell things, like on a like a little clip, and they light up and flash. And also the little ice cubes that fly. I have enough that I could open my own like
Get
Oriental
ready for
trading.
Some more, Mike.
I'm just saying
there will be a lot, but you hate saying no when you're on vacation, but like those drinks weren't cheap. Like that was more, you know, that was like a $7, $8, $9 inclusion on those things. So that's awesome. But I also think of places like Via Napoli that have that awesome flavored water that they only sell there. And again, that's something that always costs something. You know, and I always thought, well, it's really just flavored water. You know, they took water and they stuck an orange in it or something, but it's really refreshing. So guess what? Now you don't have to say no to things like that. But we did the math. There's a great blog up on the Magic for Less Travel. Go and check it out. There are so many more people that the dining plan is going to work for more than it ever did before. In addition, those of you who have children between the ages of 3 to 9, dining plan Steel. Always works for you, folks. Yeah, always, always, always. One of those character meals will more than make up for the cost of your dining plan, at least the mid-level dining plan. So make sure you're looking at that. For guests who are eating a lot of all you care to eat or character meals, again, look at the dining plan. And for guests who do a lot of table services that are like at that mid-level, they're not signature, they're just your standard table service, again, make sure that you're looking at the dining plan. It's always something that you have to do the math on, but there are a lot of pluses that we just haven't seen in the past with this. So I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of excited because the guests who use the dining plan in terms of our guests and the feedback that Disney gets, they're overwhelmingly pleased for it for a number of reasons. It's not just the value. It is the fact that it's paid for in advance and it's easy to use. And there's just all those other things. There's something to be said about being on vacation and not having to worry about or think about even, are we going to get this? Are we not going to get that? Blah, blah, blah. So love that part of it too.
I just thought about the cruise. We're going to have to buy another one of those pirate glasses. They always bring them out on pirate night. They do it on the cruise line too. Like, oh, well, you know, you're not using cash. Just give me your card at the end of the meal.
They do.
We have so many of those. They just all sit under the sink. We don't even use them when we get home. Anyway.
I was the parent who was like, okay, all these cups and stuff that we bought, they're staying here at Disney World. They're not even coming home with us because.
Well, no, I'm bringing it home. I paid all that money, but then we never use
it. No!
Anyway. All right, Mackenzie's got the next question. Hey, Mike, I have a question for your listener question show. Last week on your show, and this was a couple weeks ago, I learned Morimoto Asia is only a one-credit table service option at lunch and goes up to 2 credits at dinner. I ate there for dinner on my last trip, but it would have been a much better value at lunch. I dined at BR Guest Restaurant at lunch on our last trip as a quick service, and I know it goes up to a table service at dinner. Are there any other dining hacks that you guys can think of? I love any way to save some credits and get some good deals out of the dining plan we do each trip. Before this year, I had never heard of locations being different from meal to meal. Thank you for any insights that you can give me. Love the show, and I'm working hard on catching up on the back shows right now, anticipating filming my trip report soon, which she just did it. So we've had Mackenzie on last Monday. Awesome. So that's it. So dining hacks, there's something at Yak and Yeti that's like a steal, right? There's something that's like a snack and it's like
the chicken fried rice.
That's it. That's what I was thinking of, because I'm so using that when I get down there, because I love chicken fried rice. Yeah. So there's a good hack. I mean, you said that's a snack credit. Is that right?
Yep.
Snack credit. Yes.
That's a snack credit. So actually my hack was kind of going to be along the lines of that. And that's at places like the Boulangerie Patisserie and also the Liberty Square Market. They have some things that are quite filling that are labeled as snacks. I know the Liberty Square Market has like a baked potato. Now, of course, it depends on when you're going. You may not want to eat a baked potato.
Yeah, baked potato for the 4th of July, nothing like that.
I've done it when it was not summer. So that was nice and tasty. But then at the Boulangerie Patisserie, they have like a few kind of smaller sandwiches type options that you can choose from that is also on the dining plan as snack credits. So those are some good options.
All right, Pam, you have any other dining hacks? Because I love these things because, you know, it's something that just makes you think outside the box and maybe find some some like hidden value in the dining plan.
Do I have dining hacks? Wow. Yes, I do. So first of all, one of the things that I'm going to suggest is when looking at the menus, look at locations that have desserts that are kind of on the pricey side, because there are things that I will give, like Sunshine Seasons is a great place to go. They have a whole case full of desserts. They don't just have one or two. They have probably like 15 different desserts from which you can choose. And there are some great desserts. There's like a strawberry cake that has like whipped cream that's awesome. They have all kinds of key lime pies and different cupcakes and all kinds of things like that. That's another great hack, is to look for places that have specialty cupcakes that count as a dessert. Right there, some of these desserts are going to hit you at like the $5 range. So that's a huge value in terms of spending your snack credit on that item. That's a cool thing. Another thing is, like we talked about, you know, looking for snack opportunities that could really double as a meal. There are some locations that especially breakfast seems to have a lot of good locations that you can do this at. You can order like biscuits and gravy, you know, biscuits and sausage gravy using a snack credit. Hello. Boom. I mean, who doesn't get filled up on biscuits and
Heck
gravy?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Use all your snack credits on biscuits and gravy, man. Have a vacation.
Well, that's it. So if one of you did that and somebody else got hard-boiled eggs, you'd be in good shape for the morning. But I mean, you know, just there's all kinds of things like that. Look in the cold case to see what kind of qualifies as a snack credit. And if that can become a meal, especially with your refillable mug right there at the resort, I mean, you know, put a little coffee or soda or whatever you drink in the morning in that, and you're on your way. So consider that in terms of that. And that's my last one. If you are dining at another quick service location that is located at a different resort rather than the one that you're staying at, make sure you bring your mug with you, because it's a refillable mug at every resort on Disney property. So don't forget that.
Ricky, didn't you also say that at Wilderness Lodge or at Whispering Canyon that you can get the shake as your drink?
Yes.
And you can still get dessert? Did you say that? There was a location
yes.
like that.
Yes,
that's crazy.
You can. Yes,
I don't think
can.
That's true, but if it is, that's
no,
a great
it is definitely true. And especially with the whole, I mean, even if it wasn't true before in 2018, it would definitely be true, because that would be considered a drink. So, I mean, So you can get the milkshake that's all you can drink at Spring Canyon, and then you can get a dessert as well, which, I mean, that's an awesome hack right there, for sure.
I apologize in advance. We're giving a ton of people great ideas and huge stomach aches because you're dead after you do that. You are so in pain if you get an all-you-can-drink milkshake and then, I'll have the apple pie there at the end of the meal, please. You're just done.
I mean, give it up.
Yeah, give it up. You're going straight to your room. I hope you're staying at Wilderness Lodge. Anyway, Sue's got the next question. Hello, we're taking our first Disney cruise in April of 2018 on the Magic out of Miami. After the cruise, we'll be going to Walt Disney World, staying at Art of Animation for just one night. No parks. What is the best way to get from Miami to Walt Disney World? Shuttle company? Rental car? I'm just starting my research and think renting a car might be best. Your thoughts. Also, if you rent a car, what about tolls? I have read about people buying a Sun Pass. Can we get one through the rental company? Thinking of using Alamo since we can return it on Disney property. We will use Magical Express to get from the resort to MCO. All recommendations are appreciated. Thanks for all you do. Listening to the podcast helps my commute go so much better. Sue is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. She says, go Steelers. Is that close to you, Pam? I have to ask, that's my thing. How far is Allentown?
It's not that far away.
Okay, that's what I thought, because she's a Steelers fan. She wasn't an Eagles fan. Okay, so I've sailed out of Miami, and we have driven from Walt Disney World to Miami, and Miami back to Walt Disney World, actually all the way back to St. Louis. That's a long drive. I will say that you're probably best. This is what I would. I just rent a car and drive it. Because the shuttle's like, it's a long piece. How far is it? I think it's like 3 hours. It's long and it's boring. It's like going through Georgia. It is so boring. It's so flat. There's nothing to see. I remember that was like, I think the problem was we went down for that spring break cruise that sailed out of Miami about 3 years ago. It was just Pam, Mallory, and I, because Paige stayed home for a soccer tournament that got snowed out in St. Louis. It was ironic. She didn't get to go on the cruise and it got canceled. I was like, should go on the cruise. You live and you learn, don't you? It was a lot cheaper because you didn't go. Anyway, so we had our own car, but we drove from Pop Century down to Miami, and it felt like it took forever. But I think part of that is the anticipation of getting on the cruise. Like, you know how, like, Port Canaveral seems like you're going across, you know, you're not going across, half of Florida. You're going across the state of Texas. Can we see the ocean now? Like, I've been on this Florida B-way or whatever it's called, the B-line or whatever it's called, the Sunshine Tollway. I don't know, Turnpike, whatever it is. I just want to get to the port. I think that's how I felt. So I was antsy. But I'd rent a car. It's maybe 2 or 3 hour drive. It's a really easy drive. There were some tolls. Your rental car company will, you can buy, like, prepay your tolls. I've seen that with everybody. It's really pretty simple. Pam, have you ever driven out of Miami or cruised out of Miami?
Yeah, and Fort Lauderdale, and we've driven up, and it is, Mike's right, it's a completely boring ride.
So boring,
but running a car is the best way to do that. There's really not good shuttle service between that, and a private car transfer would be excessively expensive because it takes a few hours. That's what we do. And I was joking about her being Allentown being located next to me. Sometimes I like answer people in a very dry way, and I am joking. Allentown's really like 4 and a half, probably 5 hours from us.
Okay, so here's the question though: What's a more boring drive from where you live to Allentown or Walt Disney World to Miami?
That's rough. It's kind of boring. The middle of PA is a little boring too. I will say it really and truly is. It's just. At least we have some rolling hills. Like, Florida is flat, folks. It's pretty flat. So once you get out of the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, you're not going to be having much to look at. So
yeah, we got in like a shady part of Miami. I remember I was like, and I mean, I'm from St. Louis. Don't get me wrong, man. I know there's shady parts of St. Louis. I was like, ooh. I want to get to that ship. I got a little bit scared because I think we got off to get gas at one point. I was like, probably shouldn't. The locals don't get off on this exit, but I didn't know. So have fun. All right. Joshua's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Thanks for feeding my Disney World addiction. I live vicariously through your podcasts, and I hope that I can put some of your advice into practice more often on future Disney trips. I'm currently finishing up my master's degree, and I have been thinking about taking a post-graduation trip to the world in the fall to celebrate. I'm finishing my schoolwork at the end of the summer, not in May. May 2016 was my first time to Disney World in almost 10 years, and I'd love to make many more trips in the future because I still have so much more of Disney to see and do. As you may guess, I am a dirt poor grad student and will really have to scrimp and save to make a trip happen, but I'm planning on staying with a cast member friend offsite to save some money. I'm trying to find ways to make my experience as memorable as possible without breaking the bank. The other major issue for me is that I'll most likely be going by myself. As much as I would prefer to make memories with friends and family, I want to make this trip happen. I want to make this trip happen if possible. What can you recommend for a 25-year-old to make the most of a few days in Disney World alone? I was thinking of going either in the beginning of November during the Food and Wine Festival or in the first week of December for the Christmas party. I'd also like to spend a day in Animal Kingdom seeing Pandora and the Rivers of Light show, maybe doing a tour of the resorts since I've not been to most of them, or taking an evening to explore Disney Springs. Any recommendations would be very appreciated. Many thanks, Joshua. He's in New Brunswick, New Jersey. So when I read this one initially, Ricky, I know that you were about this age when you used to go down solo to do research and just to have some fun. And you also stay offsite too sometimes with your brother, you know, so a lot of similarities in how you've gone about it. So what advice would you give him to, you know, it sounds like he's really, really desperate to soak it in because it's all still so new to him.
Yes, I remember those days very, very fondly. So really, I think that he's kind of along the right idea, you know, maybe doing a tour or something like that to really soak in that Disney knowledge, as long as he's okay with seeing some of the behind the scenes stuff, which, you know, it depends on where he is in his fandom. Some people like to see the behind the scenes stuff, some people don't. So it really just kind of depends on that. But really, I mean, you know, what's going to make it special is the fact that you're, you know, he's there, you know, he's excited that he's going to be there. So, you know, those trips that I used to take, I didn't plan I planned out my days, obviously, but I didn't plan a whole lot. I would plan restaurants that I was looking to go to. But, you know, really just being there was special enough for me at the time. So, like, I didn't do a whole lot of, like, extra stuff. And especially because I was, you know, I was also poor. So, like, it was really just great just being there for me. You know, if you're offsite, I don't know if he's going to get a rental car or if he's going to do an Uber thing or really how he's going to get on property, but that's something that he's got to consider as well. And I, you know, also if he does drive, he's going to have to pay for parking. So that's something that he may not be thinking about at the moment, but that's something to think about. But really, I mean, you're going to have a great time. I've done the buy yourself thing so many times, it's not even funny. So, I mean, just really soak up being there, because that's what's going to be the most exciting thing about being there, you know, as a 25 and, you know, a college student. I know I've been there.
And that's the whole thing, is you just, you know, he's excited. Once he's there, man, the world's his, honestly, because he doesn't have to worry about anybody else. You just go and, you know, you want to spend a day in Pandora or whatever.
He can literally do what he wants, you know? I mean, if he changes his mind on a whim, that's okay. You know, like, that's the best part about being by yourself. You can change your mind on a whim and just be like, you know what? I would rather do this instead of what I was planning on doing. And you can do it, and you don't have to answer to anybody but yourself. So that's the best part. That's what I love.
So true. Pam, any other advice you can give him? Because, again, he's dangling this as a carrot at the end of grad school, which I totally get. And so you really want to make sure it's, you know, it's awesome, because he's put in a lot of work and this should be a great celebration.
No, I totally agree. I was just going to say, like, be so happy that you can do, like, you can, like, think to yourself, self, I would like to do this now.
Yes.
And guess what? Boom, you can go do it. That part is very awesome. So, I mean, you know, I think just really soak that up and enjoy being able to experience all of that and get to do what you really want to do. Just have a general plan and be okay with kind of winging it at certain times. Of course, make your FastPass Plus reservations, but there is so much to see and there's so much to notice. And I think when you're by yourself, that really lends itself to being able to do those things, to notice and see those things. So enjoy.
And he may want to, there's a couple of, I think he mentioned tours. There's a couple of tours that I'm thinking about. One is, of course, the behind the scenes tour, because it's so reasonable. Of course, he was talking about the Christmas party or food and wine. I mean, I think really either one is a great option. It just depends on what kind of appeals to him more. You know, the Christmas season is a great season to go. A food and wine is food and wine. So, you know, that's also really a great time to go. The other tour I was thinking about is, because he said he was going going to Animal Kingdom. And there's a Caring for Giants tour, yeah, which is new. And it's really reasonable. Again, I think it's like under $60 or something like that, which is not terrible for Disney. And you get to see like where the elephant be like up close. Okay, not like, you know, like where you're like right next to an elephant. But, you know, you get to be close to the elephants and stuff like that, which I think is a really great idea, too. So if he's looking for a few kind of reasonable tours, those are a couple of options for him as well.
Good stuff. Have a great time. Let us know how it goes. Hope you have everything you're looking for in that trip. All right, Megan's got the last question of the day. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Thanks for answering my first question on staying at Caribbean Beach with the gift card offer. We decided against it and are really happy with that after seeing the construction pictures. We booked Riverside for our July trip. It's the only moderate we haven't stayed at yet. My husband and I are staying for 10 days and upgrading to annual passes like your Disney math, break it up into two payments, poor teacher's trick. That is exactly what it is. Megan's exactly right. You buy those Magic Your Way tickets. That's kind of gets part of it out of the way. Then you upgrade them when you're there. And it's not such a shock to the system. You're still paying it, but it just your brain processes it better, I think. So her question is this. Which section should we stay in, Alligator Bayou or Magnolia Bend? We got a discount on our garden room and want to be relatively close to the food court for morning coffee. Thanks again for all of your planning help and fun on the podcast. Hope you three have a great trip in July, too. Megan is in Raleigh, North Carolina. All right, so let's just go around. We always, and here's the thing, I'm intrigued by the Alligator Bayou because I've never stayed there. I've stayed at Riverside four times. Always in the mansions, usually in the royal rooms, because we dislike those. I got three girls. They're fun. So we always tend to stay in the mansions. But I really kind of, because I run through that resort every time I stay there, and it's just so, like, overgrown and rustic down in Alligator Bayou. Like, I'm intrigued, except for the fact that, is it right they don't have elevators in Alligator Bayou, and they're only two stories? Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's what I thought. So, that kind of, I don't know if it bothers me or not. So I like, we like the mansions. It's very clean. It's very pristine looking. I've said this many times. Riverside's like walking through a postcard. It is so gorgeous. So Pam, where would you stay? Alligator Bayou or the mansions?
Honestly, if I were her, unless she has a really strong preference, I would not choose one of the two sections. I would choose to put as my room request that I would like to be located near the main building. Because you're not in preferred, there are going to be lots of locations that are taken, you know, that you won't have access to because you didn't upgrade to the preferred view room. So if that's the most important thing for you, then I would put that down on your room request as being the most important and not worry about whether you're at Alligator Bayou or the mansions, because there are buildings located in both sections that are close. So especially when you look at the different bridges and things that are available to you, that, you know, makes things very, very close. I know a lot of people always kind of worry a lot about their location of their room. And I will tell you, now I realize we do have a car a lot of the time, but we typically in the morning, we walk to go get breakfast just because I love that time of day at a Disney resort, first of all. I love to see it, people waking up. I love to be able to walk through the resort and just get, you know, to me, that's part of the experience. So I've never really cared that much where our room is. I do understand, like, if you're carrying kids at the end of a long day, it's a huge issue. But just, you know, make your kids walk. Hello. Put them down.
It's the real world, kid. Walk. Get ready. I'm not paying for your college.
That's right.
Start working. No, well, let me ask you this, though, real quick before I ask Ricky. Just personal preference. What do you like, mansions or Alligator Bayou? I think it says something about your personality.
So I think that I like Alligator Bayou more, nice. And I will tell you why. Because I really think that those rooms have a ton of character. I love the theming in that Alligator Bayou room. I love all the little nods to what Riverside really was, a little Dixie Landings, a little, you know, I like that part of it. And I just think they're incredibly themed. It, you know, almost as much as the princess rooms, the royal rooms are themed towards a princess. I think those Alligator Bayou rooms are kind of have a really strong theme too.
Mark Twain just pops out behind your door. Hey, what's going on?
Welcome. He offers to unpack for you.
That's it. Welcome to the landing. All right, Ricky, so what would you say if you just had to personally pick? Because Pam made the correct thing, because I didn't even think about that. But just say what you're looking for. Like, what's your goal? Not what building you need or anything. Like, what do you want out of your room? But which one of those themes is more up your alley?
So I have never stayed in the mansions, but I have stayed in Alligator Bayou. And so I really think that, but I have visited the mansions before. And I think I'm with Pam. I think I'd say stay in Alligator Bayou, which does not seem like because I'm not typically the rustic kind of girl of let's go camping, but that's about as close to camping as I'll get. So right. Alligator Bayou for me.
So apparently you guys spell go G-E-A-U-X instead of G-O. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. Thanks for sending those in. Keep them coming. Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get on those right away for you. Today's episode of the podcast brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com. Home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what's going on in the news this week? I'm sure there's one or two things.
You know, you'd think I, again, would be prepared, and I am not. So, we have a couple things, that came out this week, like the Disney Dining Plan news. But I think that this is the more interesting thing. This year's Each of the Beat concert series we have the artists who are going to be playing this year for the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. The festival takes place from August 31st until November 13th, and there are going to be 11 new to the festival bands, including 10,000 Maniacs, Squeeze, and the Baha Men. Hello, who let the dogs out?
You think Goofy and Pluto will be dancing around for that one?
Oh my goodness, I saw that and I sat here and it was like they had one hit song.
That's all you need.
Okay, whatever. That's all you need. but I think the one that's gonna draw the crowd in is Kenny G. Yes.
You think Kenny people are going to go to hear the soprano sax?
No, I don't think so.
I was going to say, I was like, really? Because that'll put people to sleep.
I was like, what?
You know what? Kenny G, though, I'll tell you what. This is the honest to God truth. Kenny G makes me so hungry because when I used to DJ wedding receptions in the 90s, I always played Kenny G for the dinner hour. Like, and every time if I hear Kenny G, my stomach's like, because it's hungry. It's so weird.
Yes.
And that's why he's probably at Eat to the Beat. That makes sense. He's going to drum up the business. That's it. Totally it. I figured it out.
I have no idea why they decided. You know what artist we need to play for the Epcot Food and Wine Festival? Kenny G. I have no idea why.
They need him? They need to have a duet of him and Ron Burgundy playing the super jazz flute or whatever that is. That'd be awesome.
Oh my goodness. I seriously, when I saw that, I was like, Disney, no. You've got to be kidding me. So yeah. Anyway, also 21 fan favorites will be back, such as Pam's favorite Sugar Ray. We've got my favorite in Hanson. You've got fan favorite Boys to Men. You've got Taylor Dane. You've got Starship. I mean, you've got tons of great artists that everybody knows and loves. And the concerts take place at the America Garden Theater from 5:30, 6:45, and 8 o'clock p.m. daily. So if you want to find out what artist is going to be performing while you are there, go check out The Mouse for Less because I've got it all there for you. So.
And check out Theme Park News Disney Edition. All those articles get right there on one app on your Apple device. So check it out today. It's a free iOS app. And we've come to the end of the road.
Mouse for Less is on there.
It is. It always is.
I'm hoping it is. Otherwise, I need to have a conversation.
It is. We've come to the end of the road for that ad. So check them out at virtualmickey.com. Hey, don't forget when you do your online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. It costs you nothing extra and is a piece of cake to use. And it helps pay for the bandwidth and the hosting. And we really appreciate that so much. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Getting ready to light up the social media here in just a few days. Give us a follow at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. And we've got an awesome Facebook group at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to get out of here until we get back together on Friday to talk some more Disney with you. We can't leave you without a show. We love talking Disney. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome midweek. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.